Welcome to Faith Over Breakfast. You are listening to a podcast by Pastor Eric Siepen and Pastor Andy Littleton. If you enjoy Faith Over Breakfast, we encourage you to rate it on the Apple Podcast app, on Spotify, or Google Play. Thank you and enjoy the podcast.
Hey, welcome to Faith Over Breakfast. My name's Andy Littleton with Mission Church in Tucson, Arizona, sitting across from Eric Siepen from The Village in Tucson, Arizona as well. We're coming back from a month off and jumping right in with Justin Bieber, among other things. Eric, what do you hope that people get out of it today? What are you excited about that we talked about?
I'm actually excited about Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love if people listen to our podcast, went and listened to the album if they have Spotify or whatever, and tell us what they think and kind of ponder what he's talking about, because I think he's speaking to the culture.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some good stuff in there. So, yeah, after we briefly kind of say hello and examine our time, we jump into that. Just a reminder of what this is, Faith Over Breakfast. We used to be on a radio show together, and we would have breakfast before and just talk, and we ended up deciding that was our favorite part. So after the radio show ended, we kept doing the talking, brought microphones with us, and that's what this is. So this, we don't pre-plan, we don't script, we don't really know where it's going. Basically, two pastors are talking about something. There's a seat at the table, you get to join us.
Right.
That's the podcast.
And so, you know, it's very classic for two pastors to say, hey, next week we get together, let's talk about this. What do you think?
Yeah.
So, that's what
we
do. All right. Cool. Enjoy.
Bitter on here than you are, which is probably true.
Yeah, you heard that recently?
Yeah.
That's probably my fault then, because that's post-production. I can make sure that you get a little louder. It's just to hear my voice better than you.
Well, yeah. I think everybody probably does. Where do I turn up the... Where's my dial?
Your dial should be... Let's see. Try that.
Check, check. Hello, check, check. Yeah, that looks more like what yours looks like. Yeah?
Yeah, that sounds good.
That hurt.
Ouchie. Sorry.
No worries. Eric, hello.
Hey.
It's been a bit. You've been on break. We've been on hiatus as you've been on. Was this vacation? Was this sabbatical? What?
Well, I kind of like to take what I call sabbatical vacations.
Sabbations.
So I take a month off, but usually it's June.
Every year, right?
Every year.
Yeah.
But Pastor Mark, his wife, is going to have a baby in May. So
timing.
And we've been talking a lot about we don't want to go on vacation in the summer.
Yeah.
It's too hot.
Unless you're going to go real far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So since we weren't going far, and we just decided to do March. And
yeah. Sounds good.
I would love to do it again. I think I might move it to March.
It's a nice time of year if you're staying in Arizona.
It really is.
Oh, sweet, man. I've been here. You've been gone.
Yes.
You've been in a hot tub, sounds like.
Yeah, a hot tub and working and resting and celebrating.
Yeah. So do you work? You work on vacation sometimes.
Well, I do work that I wouldn't normally do.
Yeah, you could do special. I've thought about this as a pastor. I've thought through, I think if I'm calling it vacation, I don't even want to bring the computer. I don't want to touch it. But something like sabbatical to me is a moment to do a project or something of that nature. That's how I've sort of thought about it. Press into something that I want to do or offer to the community that's refreshing.
And for the first 3 weeks, it was vacation. And I would say in the last week and a half was more sabbatical.
Okay.
So
nice. And Sue, your wife, is writing a book. That sounds
she
really interesting.
We should a book.
We should have her on to talk about this.
Yes, we should. That'd be exciting.
There's a guest.
All right. We got a guest.
And I can go into interview mode as I did with your father.
Yeah.
There you go.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm actually kind of excited that the interviews with my dad have kind of got me to a place where I think I'm going to start a series. on our Healing the City podcast, where it's just me and my father once a month talking.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, I got a lot of good feedback from it. People really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I saw your dad the other day. It turns out that the park where Abby and I go to play softball is right in front of your brother's house.
Yes.
And so we've been looking at this
Noah's Ark.
And what we now hear is called Noah's Ark. But it's always like, wow, that house is, that's a big thing they're building over there. And turns out that's your brother. So the other day, and this is in our experience, this is just this big house that always has kids on a trampoline out in the front, and is just, you know, this house that seems to be growing exponentially. And it's something interesting that Abby and I have looked at. And so we're walking out to the truck, kind of looking at the big house, and jump in the truck, roll down my window, and look over, and there's your father walking out the door. And I go, what?
My dad has a new house.
Yeah, John Siepen. And so we kind of swung around. Anyway, he's reading my book.
Yes,
he's reading your book. I think he met Abby for the first time.
Yes.
Right there, yeah. Which it did not dawn on me that he wouldn't have met her, because early in my life when she was little, he was such a huge part of my journey, our journey. So he, of course, knows all about her life.
Right.
But hadn't met her. And so he said something like, it's really great to meet you. And she just, oh, okay. And we drove away. I said, Abby, that man did a lot for you, and tried to do a lot for you that you have no idea about. And she said, he seems really deep.
Yes.
I said, yeah.
He's a very deep man. Great.
So that was
well, it was cool. It was meaningful to him because it was one of the stories he told me when I came back.
So. Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. I would love to. I want to talk to him about reading my book. But that'd be another interesting thing to have him on here to get his reflections on.
He's
that.
A very popular guest, and we get lots of hits with my dad. So I'm happy to have him on anytime.
Let's do it. Well, almost as influential as your dad is Justin Bieber.
Yes.
And
Justin Bieber is very influential and has a life with many turns.
A life with many turns. And so I discovered yesterday that Justin Bieber had put out his Easter EP. It's been classified as a gospel album. And these things are always, I'm always interested. And when we've talked about Kanye West, he made his, his Christian Chick-fil-A album. And I'm interested in these things. I'm interested in when Christianity is in a very mainstream space. That's interesting to me. I find it intriguing, every once in a while slightly concerning, but exciting. It's a mix of thoughts I tend to have. And so anyway, I listened to it, and you got hit with it sometime last night in a text message.
Yes, you said, hey, what about Justin Bieber?
And yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. I haven't heard his album, know nothing about it.
Yeah. And in our typical friendship pastor dynamic, when you say I was like, oh, Justin Bieber, you mean you didn't respond to my text.
Right.
So I had no idea if we were still talking about it. I was like, he may hate that idea. I have no idea.
Oh, I think you're actually really loud now.
Yeah. Look at that. Well, that laughter was sure loud.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you can edit
me. I got to edit you. You're making me work harder.
Yeah. But anyway, so you did listen to some of it.
I did listen to it. I listened to All She Wrote and Where You Go, I Follow.
Okay, so
those
you listened
are the
to
two
a couple
songs that I had time to listen to. Sue and I listened to them together.
Yeah, yeah. So album's called Freedom. Justin Bieber released it on Easter. You've listened to part of it. I listened to the whole album twice. It's not that long, but yeah, I'm still wrapping my mind around it. But what struck you? Just even me sending you
I've actually been excited about Justin Bieber's life changes and have followed them to some extent.
Eric, tell me your Justin Bieber journey.
My Justin Bieber journey. Well, I had run across him when he was just a YouTube sensation. And I enjoyed his music until he kind of became popular. And then I sort of stopped listening to him or following him. And then I ended up reading an article, and gosh, I don't remember what magazine it was. It was like a Rolling Stones-esque magazine, one of those, and it basically documented his move into faith and his his redemption and his relationship with his new wife and her faith. Haley. I was really impressed and wondering, like, wow, is this a genuine move into the kingdom of God? What is this?
It's an interesting thing. When I was a middle school youth director, there were, we had young girls in the group who were into this new little boy star.
Yes, Justin Bieber.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we did a thing called Middle Ground. And Middle Ground was, it was our midweek get together. And the way that I had decided to formulate it was I wanted to teach something like critical thinking when it came to faith and life and being in the world, not of the world, that sort of stuff. And the common, almost all of our kids were into music, popular music to some degree. Some were coming from Christian homes and were into Christian music, but music was a common theme. And so what I decided that we would do at Middle Ground when I got there after a little while was that I would print out lyrics to a song that they wanted to examine. They would vote and send me songs, and if they weren't, grotesque or obscene, I would consider it. And so, we went all over genre-wise, and I would print the lyrics out, we would listen to it, and we would have a discussion. And we would always have a really great discussion because they were interested in what these musicians were saying. Even if they didn't like the song, they were interested.
Definitely.
And then we would play a game called Tape Tag. And so that was our go-to for years. And so one time...
Can we pause and just explain the rules to Tape Tag?
It's pretty simple.
Okay.
There's two pieces of tape on everyone's shirt.
Okay.
And you got to rip them off.
Awesome.
That's it. Yeah, you chase people.
And you're out once you've lost your two...
Then you're trying to get other people out.
Okay.
I don't know why this game worked. It seriously was like the most beloved. Nobody wanted to play anything else. And I think what it was that it gave girls and boys, they could like chase each other, but then they just grabbed tape. So there wasn't any like it was less uncomfortable, but they still got to chase each other. And then if you became on the chasing team, that worked for everybody because if you wanted to chase, great, you could. If you didn't and you just kind of wanted to walk around, you could do that as well. So for those who really didn't like playing games, they just got out early and walked around. For those who wanted to play, they could. It worked for everybody. Nice. It was basically a democracy the way it should be. Maybe not. Tape tag. So we did the song One Less Lonely Girl. And so I would always do a little bit of digging on the song. And so I hear Justin Bieber singing, there's going to be one less lonely girl. Basically, I'm going to come in and I'm going to solve all your problems. And I was like, did he write this song? Is this kind of like a Taylor Swift sort of character? And no, some Middle Eastern guy wrote the song, which I found very funny to think about some guy, potentially in, Iran, who's like, what do Americans want to hear?
That is pretty funny.
And he submits it to the record company, and then Justin Bieber sings it. And sure enough, all the teen girls flock, and the guy in Iran makes a lot of money, and the Middle East conflict continues. I don't know. It was a Middle Eastern guy's name. And so we examined this song as a group. And I remember we had a great discussion about, do you think this guy is really going to solve whatever girl's problems? And then I brought up that he didn't write the song and asked them the question, why do you think the writer of this song knew this would work?
Right. No, that's interesting.
That was a good conversation. That was probably my first real intro to Justin Bieber. And then an interesting thing that pops up when you think about the faith aspect was at the time somebody came to me and said, hey, do you know that he has a Bible study out?
And Justin Bieber at that time
when he was super young, there was some Christian company had jumped on the fact that apparently he believed in God, and they had done this little teen Bible study with his mug on it, and it wasn't, he didn't write the Bible study, but they had kind of capitalized on that fact.
Yes.
And then soon after that, as his life started to get a little more complicated, right, and his songs got a little more sexualized, and he, you know, seemed to be smoking some weed and doing some other, you know, then all of a sudden that whole thing.
Yeah, then he just
dropped. But it was interesting. Early on, I was presented with the Justin Bieber Bible study. So
wow.
There you go. There's my Bieber journey for you.
Well, I was trying to find some of the lyrics, but I can only find lyrics for one of the songs.
Oh, yeah. It's so, well, anyway, there was all that. And then, of course, he had this period of being, he's kind of an interesting character because it's like he became this bad boy, but not that bad. I mean, just when your name is Justin Bieber and you sing really high, pretty notes, you just can't be that bad. You know, you're never...
Right.
I don't know. He got some drug charges, some stuff like that, right?
And it's high-speed racing.
High-speed racing in his supercars, right. Yeah. Right. And then I think then what I heard about him was something that he was getting married, and there was this picture went around that he was carrying around Tim Keller's Meaning of Marriage with him somewhere, and people were like, what? So... And then he married Haley Baldwin, which is Stephen Baldwin's daughter. So Stephen Baldwin, if you've hung around Christian circles, is one of those celebrities who does Christian things.
Mm-hmm.
So then Bieber marries into like a celebrity Christian family, essentially. Yeah. Yeah. Which is...
So I think just on the content of his music, this album, I think it's actually... It's a meaningful album. I'm not.
It is.
It's not necessarily my style of music, but I enjoyed it. I mean, it's like it. There were parts of it I really liked. I feel at times Bieber's singing voice gets annoying a little bit.
Sure,
but it's complex. It's talking about the difficulties of following God. Yep. It's talking about, can God use broken people?
Mm-hmm.
That he talks about the journey. It's very clear about. The death and resurrection of Jesus and its power to transform people.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's
very, very clear on.
And he has some really great lines. Like, I don't remember exactly how it goes, but when he's referring to the enemy or to Satan, he's like, "You're not my frenemy."
Yeah.
Which was a great line. And there's another line in there about, "You can't tell me who I am."
Yeah.
In regards to, you're not my Winnie Pooh or something like that. I forget that line. But they're just really, they're not lines that stick in your head, but you're like, I like to go back and listen. What is he saying?
There's actually something in there.
There's substance in what he's saying versus a lot of what I experience in Christian music is you're trying to get me to have an experience.
Yeah.
You're not, which is good, but when it's 50 songs to every one thinking song, it's hard. I do think you should have experiential music. I just think it shouldn't be the dominant always thing. And when there's a song that makes me think, I'm like, oh, I want to listen to that again. It sounds good. What's going on with?
Well, I definitely had a similar experience where I said, on the surface, this feels like, it feels like a Justin Bieber album to some degree, but it also feels very different than anything else he's done. Your wife had said it didn't really have like these hooks, and that's true. It didn't. I feel like that maybe takes a little bit of cues from Kanye's album in a way that came across very different and invited thought. If you explore the cover of the album for a second, there's some good depth to it. It looks like a screenshot out of Apple Notes.
Okay.
But it just says freedom, period. And then if just the little details, the time is 3:16, of course, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The battery is dead, but charging. The Wi-Fi and the cell signal are like 3 bars, meaning it's like one of these things where it's like I'm connecting to God, but not completely. There's some good stuff in there where I thought, hey, this invites thought. And then the album kind of it starts out with this stronger song about freedom. It's kind of got a reggae star in there that kind of an interesting feel. And then the second song is a little more raw. That's where the explicit lyrics come out in the album.
Is that the word he uses? The D word? Or does he use other words?
There's others. There's an edited album and an unedited, and some of it comes through in both and some of it doesn't. And then but that song ends on this prayer where he prays for his listeners, and then enters in a little more of the songs that you listened to that had a lot of content as far as
I must have listened to the edited version of All She Wrote.
You probably did. Yeah.
And then We're In It Together, and then Where You Go I Follow, Where Do I Fit, Afraid to Stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The titles.
And then those latter songs have more theological statements and kind of the statements you're talking about, where you could tell that even though he's couching it in kind of cultural language, that there's some real thought behind what he's saying. And you start to have Judah Smith making statements or asking questions towards the end of the song. So Judah Smith is a pastor he's done a lot of Hillsong stuff, but we just looked him up. His church now is called Church Home. So pretty famous author, pastor that I guess Bieber's, you know,
connected to.
Yep. So it's, it's an interesting exploration. I look forward to kind of digging into it a little bit more.
So this is interesting because when I started our church, the Village,
yeah,
not your church, but the Village Church, I didn't start yours.
I almost started yours.
I'll just take credit for it.
I showed up at your church one time. You had me eat breakfast with Rod. I'm sure that changed our church.
It changed everything.
So there you go. It's all
changed. But we were just starting to talk about the Christian story. So this is, you know, late 90s. The Christian story and the losing power, moving out of it, the dominant narrative. And now it's a story that is in sort of the plural, they're in a plurality of stories that it has of life and origin and religion and faith, and you just have to put your story out there. It can't be like this is the dominant one. You just have to speak about it. But at the same time, we were still also very cloistered as a religious communities, and a lot of the like fortress church was being talked about. What's interesting to me 20-25 years later is that the stories like those fortress communities, like the Christian message is now just sort of intertwined into culture. And you can't just dive in and say, oh, there it is. You have to actually do a little mining. Like we're talking about Justin Bieber, or we're talking about Kanye West.
And they're not the same. There's all these versions. Which variety is this?
And yeah, they're not Stephen Curtis Chapman. Like I know who he is. Okay. And he sings these kind of songs and he's a Christian.
Right.
You also didn't have people who are popular in culture exploring faith in front of us, and that is new in a lot of ways.
It is, and they're not, and it's not so clear. And I think this was true with Kanye, even feels more true with Bieber, where you feel like he's opening up to you his imperfect version of it, and his exploration or his stumbling around. Even in choosing that second track is one where you go, and he admits, he talks about how he had $1 million when he was 17 and women were throwing themselves at him and it was confusing. He kind of just opens up his, you know, laundry, you know, dirty laundry or whatever. And then he has that prayer for the people who are listening, and I think that's intentional, but that's a different kind of presentation. Right.
Yes.
And then you even just look at his life and his most recent album and everything, and you go, he doesn't seem like he's made this switch to just like good guy, great sweetheart, Christian guy. Even his previous album, after getting married, you're like, oh, how sweet. Like he's loving his wife. And then one of the songs, you're like, oh, that's uncomfortable. Like, that's a little too
authentic.
Yeah.
Well, I think too, what's interesting is it used to be in the Christian community, if I'm an artist, when we go to the concert, he's going to tell me his story, and that may have some authenticity to it.
Right.
Then he's going to play a song that's more victorious in the sense of not expressing the journey. It expresses the end result.
It was always going to be, here is who I was, here is who I am now,
yes,
versus with Bieber and Kanye, you're getting, here is where I am.
Yes.
You know, and there's who I was, and I'm still... It's still there in me. It's a little different.
Right. And who's my brain is blanking right now, but who's the relatively popular crossover Christian rapper?
Lecrae.
Like, yeah. You get a little bit of that in mm-hmm. his music.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much, I would say, not in the same way, but his is a little more socially honest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he talks about, He's more honest about other things himself as well, but he's coming from having been in the Christian world right. for a longer time. He's yes. kind of reversing that. He's as a longtime Christian artist, he's opening up more than he did before.
Right.
And I think with Lecrae, what you have going on is there's a lot of the ex-evangelical stuff, right? Where yeah. people are like, you know what, forget it, and then they start, you know, cussing and admitting that they smoke or whatever,
right.
or what, you know, and Lecrae's not doing that. He's not like, I'm an ex-evangelical. He's just going, I'm going to be more honest as a Christian. And I respect that
yeah.
too. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a little different, but similar in the process. Yeah.
Yes, it
yeah,
is.
So it's interesting. It's fascinating to me because it's all this is happening while it seems like our culture in some ways is clamping down more and more on
uh-huh.
this idea that Christianity was the dominant story, and we don't want it to be the dominant story. We don't want it to even be part of our culture to have an impact on it anymore. We're tired of that.
Well, and right in the moment where you've got a bunch of Christians, frankly, terrified that they're losing influence and losing ground, you look around, you've got like, Lecrae's huge, Steph Curry's a Christian, you know, they're hanging out and talking about it. Justin Bieber and Kanye West are putting out explicitly Christian albums. Like, that's interesting.
It is fascinating to me.
Yeah, that's what we didn't see that before, right? Back when we felt like we had so much influence, and all of a sudden the influence is in the hands of people that we used to criticize. You know, the athletes and the pop stars. It's like,
right.
Whoa, what do we do with this?
I think. Yeah, that is a good question as a follower of Jesus. Like, what do I do with this? How do I look to see what Jesus is doing with and
do you think this has anything to do with the fact that Christianity is finally like you have to be a little bit on the edge to be a Christian? Like, when it was the dominant story, it's just less interesting in the hands of or for somebody in kind of popular culture who's pushing limits?
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I think
I'm not saying that's what it is.
Well, no, like Time Magazine, I'm obviously going to get the dates wrong, but it was somewhere in the early 90s. One of their covers was a man and a woman, and they were, you know, at that time, I don't know, they're like 18, 19 years old, and they look very similar.
Uh-huh.
And the whole article was about how we're bringing male and female together into the one. This is what's going to happen over the next mm-hmm. 25 years. We've seen that.
Right.
Then the New Yorker, not too much longer after that, maybe in the late 90s, had a cover of a family and they were completely tattooed and pierced, and their little kid was pierced, and they're sitting there.
Right.
And that said normal.
Yeah.
And next to it was a little family with nothing. You know, no piercings, no tattoos, and very modest dress, and that said alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, in yeah. a sense, become true. And so
absolutely.
There's this like weird thing in culture where we now look at this sort of nice, I don't know even how to describe that family, whatever they were right. representing, but some of it's edgy and different and not experienced. Nobody's had that experience.
It's funny. I've been having this, I've been on this train of thought with folks. I remember one of my kids in my youth group years ago, he's getting ready to go into college, and he told me that he really wanted to have sex, and he was thinking about that. And I remember telling him, it popped in my mind, and I was like, you know, that's literally what everybody wants to do. Like, you're this like edgy, smart, like, you think you're breaking convention? Look around. Like, look around. Everybody does that. That's
right, right.
Like, find somebody who doesn't, please show me.
Right.
And then the same thing, somebody asked me years ago if I was going to get a tattoo. And I said, you know what I'm waiting for is the day when everybody has tattoos and it's like a complete rebellious anomaly to have none. And there I'll be ready for that day, you know.
But it's true. And so now you see bits of this effect in our culture. I mean, in the way that like there's a fascination with it. So you see it in philosophy. Like you see people who are atheists getting degrees in theology because they say, well, if this is true, if it's possibly true, then it's the most truth.
Yeah.
I don't believe in it. But there's more and more people interested in what
becoming faith intrigued by that
and religion has to say because it's the alternative now.
It's marginal.
It's normal.
It's a little marginalized. And so all of a sudden it becomes actually more intriguing, right?
Right. It's what was why I think Justin Bieber in particular and his lyrics are important to ponder. Because he is saying what most people his age are feeling and experiencing.
Yep.
At least in the struggle aspect. And he's talking about how faith has intertwined itself with that for him.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty known or should be known. And it's funny to say this, right when so many of our, even people within our own churches are afraid that Christianity is losing its grasp. When you think about it from an opportunity standpoint, there are more people interested in religion now than ever. They just aren't all in the same, you know, kind of, they're not towing the same line, but the interest in religion is extremely high. People are asking a lot of big questions. And when I hear that, I go, wow, that's an opportunity. And some people are going to look all over the place. And some people are going to go, you know what, that there's something about that God who enters in, suffers and dies for us. That's actually really, really powerful. If you're too freaked out about everything that you're losing, you're going to miss out on the chance to talk to a lot of people about this stuff.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, it's interesting that here's Bieber who's kind of exhibiting for us. I had all the excesses. I did all the things our culture said were off limits. I did them all. And it's kind of a Solomon moment.
Yeah. It's very Solomon-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. And coming back and saying, no, it was empty. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting stuff.
Well, it's kind of cool. It's a cool conversation being that last week was Easter, or last Sunday was Easter.
Yeah.
And we're now, in a sense, living, at least church calendar-wise, but even just as people of faith all over the world, in response to a celebration that we just had.
Yeah.
About the resurrection of Jesus. And what does that mean in our culture, that we serve a risen God who has power and impact?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still pondering this. The question that I asked our church on Easter was, I proposed to everyone, in a sense, a Bieber lifestyle. I said, look.
I wish you'd called it that.
What if I should have called it a Bieber life. I had known about this song since we, I said, what if I told you that last week, in response to one of the guy's sermons on the unforgiven servant, this very wealthy man called me and was so convicted that he was going to give this church $300 million that I could distribute equally to all of you in order to take care of your life. And I kind of laid out that, like, well, that would probably give you some purpose, peace, and power. Like, you would help. And yet you don't feel like the resurrection does that for you at all. And in fact, you haven't experienced the resurrection. Mm. So why? And I think
it's good.
I think that is the problem in a lot of ways with us as followers of Jesus, is we're so terrified and we're protecting the little bit we have, and we are caught up in a lot of despair and fear and we feel very doubtful that there's any actual power.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, well, wait a second. Like, the resurrection, there isn't any other event in the world that has any kind of significance compared to the resurrection.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like there's a lot of work put in to talking about the proofs for the resurrection, right? That and I'm not against that. I think there's something to that. But there's a lot of work put into just trying to convince people, no, it's possible. It could have really happened.
Yeah.
But there has not been enough work put into saying, why don't we experience this.
Yeah.
Right. Have you watched The Chosen at all?
Let's talk about The Chosen.
We should have another. Let's have another one. On that.
We will have one. And I would. So let me give at least a preview for everybody.
Yeah.
On my experience so far of The Chosen.
I'm in a so far as well. It's been recommended by so many people. We finally.
Highly recommended.
Yeah.
We decided to take it with us on vacation.
Uh-huh.
We got the DVD from some people at our church who really love it. And I wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
And each place didn't have a DVD player. And I think the first place did, but I wasn't sure how it worked, to be honest. So anyway, I have not watched it except for clips on YouTube.
Okay.
But I do intend to sit down, and if we're gonna do a podcast
let's get through season one.
Okay.
Let's get through season. I'm halfway there.
So here's my reason I have given people why I don't watch it is I'm a very visual person.
Yeah.
And the picture that I have of Jesus in my head.
Yeah.
And the relationship I have, and the way I understand things happen is probably different than Chosen.
Well, that's a danger in any physical representation at all, whether it's Jesus. Art. I mean, we went to the DeGrazia Gallery for Good Friday, and it's depictions of Jesus, which one of Ted DeGrazia, who's a famous Tucson artist, one of his. He was committed to portraying Jesus a little differently in every image for that reason.
Right.
But that is a danger.
Yeah.
And so when you soak in something like The Chosen, there's some very interesting stuff that they're inviting you into. So one of the things I was going to say that it has invited me to think about is, and this is in the context of the disciples early in following Jesus, you know, but what would it look like to really trust this person? That was just something it invited me to think about as you hear their imagined dialogue. You know, what would it look like to really just trust this person and follow him? That's a good line of thought, I think, to entertain. But if you begin to think that the Jesus of the Bible is definitely the Jesus of Chosen, be careful. It is not, right?
Right.
And this is somebody's portrayal, somebody's imagination. Got to be really careful with that.
Yeah.
But we should definitely watch season one and do a whole.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
2 weeks from now.
Okay. Done.
2 weeks, we'll do The Chosen. That'll force me to have to watch it.
All right. Same. I got to finish it. Yeah.
Committed. How many episodes is it? Is it?
Oh, I don't remember.
Seven?
Yeah, maybe 10. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot to do in 2 weeks, but I could do it.
You can. Yeah, I believe in you. You can watch TV that much.
Yeah.
I see the potential in you.
Thank you. But yeah, so I mean, I don't know where we were going with all this.
You were talking about Easter and do you really believe this? Yes, and I was just saying that was something that invited me to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think I would love to have a podcast, especially in this like time of the church calendar of Eastertide, of what has to change in the community of God for us to be collectively, not just the village and mission, but a community worldwide, or maybe just America, because I do think in different pockets of the world where there's different kinds of pressures happening, they are experiencing things differently and stepping into faith differently. But I think
Absolutely. In
our culture, we are not living in peace, and we're not. Yeah. We're living in despair. We live in fear. I mean, I came back from vacation and just conversation after conversation with villagers in particular, and one conversation I overheard at a coffee shop while I was studying, the word anxiety and fear.
Yes.
I'm for the first time experiencing it, or I need to deal with it, or I'm struggling with it. Like, and we haven't come up with a solution for it. Yeah. We have so many solutions in the world, and I have not seen any of them work.
Right.
And I haven't seen medication work. I haven't seen counseling work in the secular world. I haven't seen any of the newer therapies work. It just, it's not working.
They're not instilling hope.
No, they aren't.
They're giving relief, but they're not instilling hope. So it doesn't stick.
No.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what we should talk about next time. Yeah, maybe we should. I have seen the same, and I'd love to talk about that and really explore that. And then that gives us a little time to.
All right,
and so, we can go home and watch The Chosen to
help us with
decompress.
All right, so here we go. The preview is next week. We're going to do a deep dive on the hope of Jesus and anxiety, and then we're going to do kind of what Eric and Andy think about Chosen.
And you listeners can take this journey with us.
Yes.
You can be prepared. You can be thinking about this anxiety thing. And then if you haven't watched The Chosen, I guess you could do that too.
Yeah. And if you have, then you can email us thoughts over the next 2 weeks.
Your thoughts.
Yes. Love it. So that we'll incorporate all of those. So
faithoverbreakfast@gmail.com.
Yes. Yeah, surprise us, because we don't get emails from you. Though here's a crazy thing. And, you know, I know Andy always rolls his eyes when I say this, but we didn't do any podcasts this last month.
I'm rolling my eyes.
Roll your eyes. We had 50 downloads of old podcasts. So I know you guys are listening.
Oh, you're thirsty for it. Digging in the crates.
The week before, we had 80 downloads.
Okay.
So
we
know you're listening to us. Just get on your email and say, hey, I know I'm listening. Here's what I think.
There you go. Okay. Well, faithoverbreakfast@gmail.com. Thoughts on the anxiety thing or on the show The Chosen.
Or if you go listen to Justin Bieber's album, tell us what you think. We'll read your comments on air. As long as you use
next level
language that is appropriate.
At least as clean as Justin Bieber. Yeah, we'll give you a little room. Yeah. Well, Eric, thanks for hanging out, man. It's been good. It's been a while. But
it's good to be back in the saddle, as they say.
Back in the red chair saddle here at the village. So, anyway, Faith Over Breakfast, good to have you. Hey, rate and review our podcast, by the way. There's another thing. If you've stuck with us this long and listened to what we just said about emailing, you're the type of person who we could really use a review from. And rate our podcast. You know, turns out 5-star ratings are really the best, but give us the rating you really want to give us.
And ratings with comments are even better.
That's what I'm saying. Reviews. Yeah. Yes,
Rate and review.
So thanks for tuning in. See you next time.
All right. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Faith Over Breakfast with Pastor Eric Siepen and Pastor Andy Littleton. Please share us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you.